I am too short for pulpits. Plus, I may trip over them and stumble over them, and this is a pretty long fall for a guy like me. So I will tell you, I never change my mind, because that's a lady's prerogative. I simply upgrade to a better decision. My wife spends 2 weeks on the road with me and 2 weeks off the road. And I only say that now when she's not here, because if she's here, she just lowers her head and goes, "Oh, honey. Oh, honey." And somewhere between first and second service, I lost half my notes, but it's a good thing I get it memorized. Is that the tall, thin lens on that iPhone? It's in my contract that you can only use the tall, thin lens. Ask Linda. I don't have a very extensive contract. Coke Zero and the tall, thin lens. And occasional gummy bears and Jiffy Lube or whatever it is we ate last night. Tasty Lube, Freezy Lube, whatever it was. I love that place. Hey, somebody shorter than me. Woo! It takes brave people to come in at that particular part of the service and sit in the front row. I will leave you alone from this point forward, I promise. Hey, we had a good time in the park last night, amen? A lot of people there, a lot of videos. Woo! Let's snowball it and do it again. Here's the deal. I had somebody that works in my studio, and I record young Christian artists for free in my studio. It's a ministry. Love doing it. God's blessed me with it. But I have this machine that just prints and spits out CDs, and then you got to take it, cut the CDs, put them in the tray, put them in the thing, and put it all together, like 500 at a time. And she comes down the steps and goes, "Oh," after about 9 hours, and goes, "I got 500 done." I go, "Cool, here's another order for another 500. Isn't that what God will have us to do? We praised and worshiped in the park last night. We ministered to people. I said, we do it again. I wish we could do it every day. I use the analogy of Bill Hybel when the Passion of Christ movie came out. What a wonderful movie. The greatest analogy I ever heard was I was in Sunday school class with a 92-year-old lady, and this guy goes, "Oh, Mel Gibson faced a lot of persecution. He's going to go through a lot of turmoil over this movie." And she goes, "Well, for $114 million the first week at the box office, I guess I could face a little persecution too." Amen. But God's Word tells us to just keep on doing it and keep on going. Amen. Go that extra mile. My wife sent me my morning YouVersion devotion on my phone. You can't hide from your wife anymore, by the way, gentlemen, because of Facebook and Twitter and phones and this credit card that tells her everywhere I'm at when I swipe for gas. You know, it comes from. And so she sent me the YouVersion scripture this morning. It comes out of the book of Hebrews about running the race. But I never paid attention to that first part that said, "Unload all the things that are weighing you down." I thought, wow. Sometimes churches, we get caught up with so much business of the church and screens and colors of carpet. I think it's weighing us down. It's time to unload and run the race. Amen? And let some people come in and run along beside us. Now, there's been some miscommunication somewhere along the line. This front row's kind of scaring me a little bit. What are you folks all about over here? Stand up, sir. If anybody has a problem with anything I say or do, take it up with this fine young gentleman right here this morning. Looks like he ripped the rear end out of a truck or something. So there was some communication. Troy put a wonderful song service together that focused on grace. And so me and Troy got together early this morning and decided to blame everything on Mike, wherever Mike's at. Still here? Is he still here? Oh, he's back there. How could I miss Mike? And so Mike was the only one sending me text messages, so it's completely his fault that my sermon's about love, not grace. Actually, the truth of the matter is, this is last week's revival sermon, all 4 days, scrunched into one little message. No pun intended. I'm glad you caught that. You gotta be quick sometimes. Okay, better late than never. Better late than never. First thing I want to hit on the version of love is that God's love never changes. Amen. It's been the same since He created the earth, and He loved us so much that He separated us from the animals. Page one, and breathed the breath of life in us that makes us special. We don't slither across the ground and fly through the air as much as my aviation friend does back there. You're going to see a video in a while. But we can't physically fly through the air. And I know as a kid, if you're a boy like me, I put on a blanket with a clothespin around it, and I'd jump off the top bunk, hoping that eventually I'd take flight somehow. Never happened. My favorite song when I was in fifth grade was, everybody was kung fu fighting. Yeah! And I'd jump of the foster home I was in, I'd jump off my top bunk, throw a karate kick, and land on the double bed about 10 feet away. I did that successfully for about 85 times, and then number 86, I came up a little short and went wham right on the headboard of the bed and split my head open, so I needed a new favorite song. So I switched to Freddie Fender's Before the Next Teardrop Falls. A much safer song for a guy like me. Okay? I tried this at first service. Youth group, I'm relying on you here. I tried this at first service and it just didn't happen for me. But we're going to open up this service, but they need somebody to shout out or sing the first song that comes into your head with the word love in it. There's 8 million of them, so it should be simple. What? Oh, she's going with the hymn. She's going old school hymn. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the faithful shore. Love lifted. Everybody? Me. Now, this girl with the dark hair, she had something whizzed through her mind, but she's afraid to say it. Come on, little sister. Pull it out of there, girl. No. She gave me one of those. Flies. Can I have your shirt, man? That shirt is rocking, dude. I changed in the parking lot because I was hot earlier. They're going, what the? That guy preaching this morning? Anyway. Now, usually when I do this in public, somebody shouts out the theme from Love Boat. Love, exciting and new, but love will keep us together. But me and Justin last night at the Tasty Lube or whatever that place is called. What's it called? Jiffy Treat. See, I get my oil changed at Jiffy Lube, and I got confused with the Jiffy Treat. So me and Justin were coming up with love songs, prepare for this sermon. So it was me and Justin and all these people looking at us that we have completely lost our minds. The Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 26, this great teaching he was driving you and saying, dude, you've lost your mind. We were sitting there, ooh, I need your love, babe. Tell you that it's true. Ain't got nothing but love, babe. Justin, come on. 8 days a week, oh, hold me, touch me, please me, I ain't got nothing but love, babe. 8 days a week. Woo! Mike doesn't know it, but he just lost a son because Justin's coming on the road with me here pretty soon. I got a new van out there. I just turned over 104,000 miles yesterday. Woo! Hey, people need Jesus. Amen? Have you driven around this town? Was you in the park last night? Did you see the people that moved across the street when I went from singing, don't stop believing, to oh, how He loves us. They gradually walked across the street. I kept thinking, man, by the grace of God, somehow touch their hearts and touch their lives. Use this gift that you've given me twice in my lifetime and dedicate it to your service. People need Jesus. Amen? And then we pray that somehow people want Jesus. And what I mean by that, that's what's going to fill up your church. Not knowing anything about the Bible, in my very first portion of giving my life to Christ, I decided to pattern myself, being a guy that grew up without parents and in foster care. I was going to find a guy that loved his wife, loved his kids, and they all came to church and worshiped together. I thought that was a pretty good pattern. I was later to find out that that's called discipleship. So I guess that makes it I never preached to women. I only preached to men. Been married for 30 years. Still can't figure it out. I guess that makes it our responsibility. Amen. That people want some of what we got. The Apostle Paul called it a secret. And what do people want when they know you have a secret? They want to know about it. And I think the Apostle Paul was using a little humor there when he said, don't tell me a secret, because I'll tell Linda and then it'll be all over the place. I'm just joking. Here's the crux of my sermon this morning. I pray that somehow through the gift of the Holy Spirit touching your heart, that you fall in love with Jesus. And I'm talking to church members too, because then and only then will your life change. When you give yourself up and unload the things that are weighing you down by putting it to death over here, and you rise and walk in newness of life and rejoice in that resurrection that Christ died for us. Philippians chapter 2. Churches do not break up over the celebration and the rejoice of that resurrection. Amen? Churches celebrate over focusing on that resurrection. Example. I've decided to make my word love emphatically, yet conservative. I'm a big fan of the Chicago Cubs. Got any Cubs fans? Give me some love. Give me some love. Yeah. Well, listen here, mister, up front. I'm talking to you, string bean. Every Christian should be a Cubs fan for at least 2 years because it makes you a better Christian. You practice faith, hope, love, long-suffering, things unseen. The day is coming. But I don't love the Cubs. I've decided I don't love the Cubs. I enjoy the Cubs. They're my team that I root for. The only real sleep I ever get is innings 3 through 7. I enjoy it. But I don't love the Cubs like I love Jesus. Amen. I also have a hard time figuring out that we have Super Bowl parties in the church. And your team scores a touchdown. We go, woo! And then when someone comes down here and gets baptized and confesses Jesus as the Lord and Savior, we stand up and go, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family. And that's rough on me. That's rough on me. My friend said, I got a new friend. I said, no, my family's just been increased after hanging out here for 2 days. Amen, Troy? Come on, brother. Because I grew up without family. You know what God did? He blessed me with the biggest family you could possibly imagine right here in the church. Met my dad about 14 years ago. Didn't even know who he was. Took his confession and baptized him. He goes, by the way, I'm your dad. Amen. That's how big God is. That's how big God is. I had this guy singing, and I can hear you singing out there, by the way. I have this really acute hearing. I had to go to a psychiatrist one time because when you drop your keys, I'd pick up the notes it made. The crickets outside my window, they're cripping in A-flat, you know. It was really a weird thing that was happening to me. And so I can really hear those people singing. And I had this guy in a church that I was minister at in Arkansas. I walked up and said, man, you sing wonderfully. You should sing on the praise team. He goes, I'm shy. Okay. And I went to the football game Friday night. The other team scored on a pass interference play that our player barely touched him and the ref threw a flag. Touchdown. And he ran down to that fence and said, wah! And I walked down to the rail and I said, I thought you were shy. What are you passionate about, church? What are you passionate about? It's all about passion, and that passion is stirred through love. Let's get to today's message. I'm going to preach out of the book of 1 Corinthians, which is proverbially known as... Love. Oh, come on now. The love chapter. I will tell you that I've sang in 973 weddings. Yep. So if your daughters are getting married, you better hurry up, because my price went up, and after 1,000, I quit. And if I had a daughter... She'd be locked in a closet and fed through a hole till she's 30. I treated my son pretty rough. I'll tell you about that in a second. Anyway, I had a foster daughter who came into my home and I was the chaplain for the police, and I found her in a closet and her mom stabbed me in the back. I got a big scar going down the middle of my back. And so I was laying there bleeding and I picked up this girl and took her home, said she's mine, went to the court, signed the paper, she became our daughter, raised her through high school. And so I stood by the door, every single day and made her change her clothes 3 times before she was allowed out of the house. Then my son, love will make us do some crazy stuff. Amen. So let's talk about the focused love, but I'm going to tell you about my crazy love here because I'm a nutcase. I suffer from attention deficit and all of that stuff. You know, a squirrel, you know, I'm that guy. I'm that guy. You know, so the only reason I use notes is to keep me focused on track. But I got to tell you this story. My son, when he was in ninth grade, all 110 pounds, thought it was cool to wear his pants down low. I said, dude, nobody wants to see your skinny rear end or your Spider-Man underwear. You know, and we went round and round and round about it until one morning he tried to sneak out of the basement and go up the back of the driveway and get in his little red truck. And I could see the Spider-Man logo and even had his shirt kind of tucked in him. And I said, what is that? So I went and got the daisy pump BB gun and went boom, boom, put two of them right in his rear end. He's laying there on the ground shaking. And my wife comes running out in her slippers and you shot him! You shot him! You shot our son! And so I got up to him and put one in the left just for balance. I know I shouldn't have done that. Get arrested for it these days. But I was passionate about it. I wasn't going to let my son, because if you know what that truly represents in the prison system, you wouldn't let your kids do that either. He still has two little welts. He's 30 years old and he has two little welts. Guess what? He never wore his pants down low ever again. You know, you gotta aim for the air and the drop on a daisy pump BB gun. You know, it's all about the focus. I'm a dead shot with it. That girl that stabbed me, I'm hosting the State Celebrate Recovery Retreat in St. Louis, Missouri this year. She's my featured speaker. By the grace of God, she's come all this way. Amen. So God's love never changes. Let's read the scripture. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, I'm on verse 1. And I need you to, if a word jumps out to your church, I need you to say it. You know, Jesus died in public. We need to announce these things in public sometimes. Amen. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am, say it with me, nothing. Ouch. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I have gained nothing. I spent 30 years of my life trying to be a rock star. Well, thank you, sweetie. Okay, her and Justin are coming on the road with me. Professional audience, clapper person. Is your new minister here? Chuck? Where's Chuck at? Chuckles, stand up. Give Chuck some love back there. There's your new guy. Some of you might realize that Chuck and I are related. You might notice the family resemblance. I was on tour with Sanctus Real and Francesca Battistelli. And for a week, I couldn't say her name, so I called her Fettuccine Alfredo. I relate everything to food. People ask me if I stopped growing. I said, nope, I just changed directions. And I stood up there, and Chuck, you'll appreciate this. I said, stop, stop, stop at soundcheck. They go, what's wrong? And I said, I just had an epiphany that my son's older than everybody on the stage. So I just had to get that out of my system. I spent 30 years of my life trying to be a rock star. And kind of like Jonah, God plucked me out of there for a while and had me do some humble thinking. You know, when you really talk to the Lord, you will get humility. When your ego gets deflated and the tools that you use to rely on are no longer available. You get locked up in a federal prison and don't get out for 8 months. You do a lot of that humble praying. See, my introduction to Jesus was I broke into West Burlington Christian Church and I stole all the missions money out of the safe. And I said, ha, 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 God. And he goes, woo. The only person to come to visit me when I got locked up was the preacher that I stole the money from. And he came to forgive me. And he said, my church has decided that this is an investment in your ministry. I said, what on earth are you talking about? Ministry? See, I went from driving a 1972 Corvette Stingray to losing everything I own. I went from 2 years' time being on television to in a coma in a hospital into a federal prison. That'll humble you. It's where I gave my life to Christ. Not one of those run forward, bow your head type of things. I mean a true on my knees, God, take everything that you think I am and mold it into what you'll have me be. That type of conversion. I fell in love with Jesus. I got out of there after 8 months, supposed to be in there for 7 years. I got moved into a state facility. I was supposed to be in there for 4 years. I was out in 56 days because I took every class, had no more classes. They kicked me out. I got put into a halfway house where I was supposed to be for 2 years. I was out of there in 40 days, moved into the basement of the preacher I stole the money from. That was Bible college because we did Bible study twice a day. Did counseling back with my wife, and I decided to go to class, and the judge called me in front of him and said, Andy, we'd like to use your notoriety and your fame to talk to kids, but you have to be licensed in the state of Iowa. I said, give me the test. And I took the test, became a CAC Level 3 substance abuse counselor, exonerated from all my charges, and I became the program director of the same halfway house 2 years ago I was incarcerated in. I am not that smart. I am not that intuitive. I am not that slick-tongued. Because this first part says nothing I say will matter. The difference is I'd fallen in love with Jesus and I became hungry for that. And hunger, my friends, will motivate you. But I love how the Bible doesn't have any gray area. It doesn't say a little bit that you have. It says nothing. I don't think everybody came to church this morning for nothing. But you know what our churches are full of? And I'm sorry, but our Christian camps and our churches, we go to church on Sunday morning, and if nothing happens, that's a good service. No, I come hoping that God's love will move through this place, that you'll be so uncomfortable that something happens. Because other words, nothing I say will matter. Nothing I know will matter, and I thought I was the smartest person on the planet. And later, 4 years later, I decided to go to Lincoln College, at Lincoln Christian College, and that church that I broke into paid for my Bible college. I graduated out of there in 18 months. They hired me the minister of the same church that I broke into 4 years later. It's a wacky thing when you fall in love with the Lord. Here's what I thought. I'm going to walk up here, and Andy's going to save the world. And just like when I jumped off that top bunk, I hit my head on the bedpost and split it wide open. And Jesus said, Andy, you're a vessel. I've given your voice back twice. I've given you the gift of knowledge. The first gift I've given you is the gift of salvation that I sent my son so that you could take part in. And the second gift is this gift of ministry. Use it wisely. And I discovered that I can only be a vessel to lead people to the one that can. Amen? That's what matters. That's how much I love people. I told you I got that new van. Got 104,000 miles on it. I don't ask for anything. Someone calls me up and says, we're having this in the park and we're going to minister here. I said, what time do I need to be there? Nothing I do will matter. And I do a lot of stuff. Sometimes people ask me, what do you do? I say, what part of the year, what day, and what time of the day are you talking about? Because I don't really know. I do know this. Where He leads me, I will follow. And I truly feel like, hear me, church, people get the opportunity to minister 20 to 25 times a day. We just don't always take advantage of it. Amen? Last night I counted about 400 opportunities to minister. It started with handing them a backpack full of school stuff. Then going through the clothes. Couldn't find any clothes that fit me, but that's okay. But if we did that without love, church, I don't think it would have been successful. And the Bible says it wouldn't have mattered anyway. Amen? So I hope that was all for love. Here's a tough one for me. I am blessed with being sponsored, and I get free guitars. And so I give about 6 of them away a year to college students that are going to praise and worship scholarships or kids that are learning how to play guitars. And my wife says, why do you do that? You'd have a whole warehouse full of guitars. And I said, why do I need a warehouse full of guitars? This one's just fine. And it's so thin, I can play it because guitars are getting further from my body and my arms aren't getting any longer. So I got a thinner guitar. I'll show them. But seriously, I don't think that would be possible unless I was willing to give them away. I don't really own anything, do I? Is it at all for God's service? Amen? All for God's service. So nothing I do will matter. But I'm the type of guy that for some reason, number one, you can't hide. I told you earlier, my wife has this card that is strictly my ministerial card. And every time I swipe something, it comes across her phone or her computer. And so I can't go to the Dairy Queen in secret no more. And, you know, she's on me all the time about eating right and stuff like that. And I love ice cream. I'm sorry. Here's that word love. I like ice cream a whole lot. And my CDs are under contract right now because Bill Gaither has... Anyway, it's weird. And so I'm not allowed to sell my own CDs right now because I'm under a contract. And that used to be my cash money that I could go to the Dairy Queen with. It's rough. And I'm that guy at the gas station that I try to sneak in there. And I don't know why they find me, but they come up and ask for money. Maybe that's a compliment that they see some Jesus. Maybe my light shines. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. Or maybe the more truth of the matter, God says, here he is, there they are. Let's put those two together. That's what I choose to believe. So my wife puts me on a budget. I do financial counseling. It takes 2 seconds. Here, honey. I'm the only guy that admits it. And so she gives me a $20 a week allowance to give to those people when I travel. And I just get it out of the way the first time. First person comes up, here it is. That one off the telefib when the next person comes. I gave it to that dude. Go talk to him. But if I gave it going, I wonder what he's going to do with that money. Is he going to drink alcohol on that money? Is he going to go buy drugs on that money? What's he going to do? See, I got a little skeptical being a program director. I got a little skeptical and I fell out of love with people, which is what I'm talking about today. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, but love your neighbors, you love yourself. Woo, that's a tough one. I had to fall in love with the fact that God, this is your money. Take it. Do what you see fit. You have the opportunity to do that here in a little while. Here's the toughest one. Nothing I accomplish will matter. And I've pondered over this word. I still haven't come to a conclusion, but I do know this. Have we really accomplished anything as a church, as a family, as a lover of Jesus Christ until he comes back, calls us home, and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Then and only then can I courageously use the word accomplish. I'm not too sure about anything else I do. I just keep on doing it. 500 CDs, got to go make 500 more. Played in the park last night. We're going to play at youth group tonight. It's going to be loud. It's going to be rocking. Get ready. You think it was loud last night? Woo! Will we do it again? I went to a mission trip to Haiti one time. And I had this little PA system in my guitar. And they said, well, we do church at sunup. I said, cool, I love sunrise service. They go, no, church is from sunup to sundown. Because those people, they walk from the villages and they show up and they just show up. So I just sat there and played praise and worship. About 10 sermons was preached. And I thought, man, this is what church really should be about. It's just church and people loving Jesus all day, all night on Sunday. And I thought, man, this should be church all week long. It doesn't have to be the assembly, but when I'm driving my van, when I'm talking to people in Walmart, when I'm meeting people at the Tasty Freeze or whatever that place is, when I'm doing all this stuff, I should be a lover of Jesus Christ, because then people may see that and fall in love with Him themselves. Love is a commitment. Love is a commandment. Love is a choice. Love is a way that you conduct yourself. And don't be fake, because this day and age, people can pick up on that. Amen? Especially, gentlemen, your wives. Sometimes on Sunday night, I get done singing and I pack up all my equipment and I can't sleep anyway, so I'm going to drive 500 miles home. And I have a picture of my phone with my wife, and I look at it and go, man, she's pretty. You know, I met her in 1984. I was on tour with Bon Jovi, and she worked her way to the front row. Woo! 30 years later, here we are. And so I drive home to be with my wife, and I get home, and there's my grandchildren in the bed. My 8-year-old granddaughter is as tall as me somehow. I don't know how that happened. And then my 3-year-old grandson, who's a splitting image of me, he just bounces off the wall 24 hours a day, and he never sleeps. And then there's my pit bull in the center, and my African Basenji dog on the other side. My wife's tucked in there somewhere in the middle, and I go, well, I'm home, honey. And I go sleep on the couch. Big celebration. It's all about me. Yeah. Big celebration. But I have to get in this thing that my wife is putting out so much love. She's got enough for everybody. Even me. Here's the grace part, Troy. She loved me when I didn't even deserve to be loved. That's grace. The only definition I can come up with. Jesus loves you, even though we don't deserve it. I've made this commitment. I was in a foster home when I was a kid, and this guy was a great gentleman. I think I was 11. It's kind of foggy to me, but I think I was 11 years old. And this guy was a handyman, and he owned apartment houses, and he worked on them all the time to keep them nice. He was a carpenter. He was a builder. He was a plumber. He was an electrician. And he tried to teach me all this stuff. And I didn't want to learn any of it. All I cared about is playing my guitar and singing. And playing baseball. But I unconsciously learned something. I just realized. At age 51, I'm still learning stuff. So I was going through my notes and reading this scripture and talking about this sermon, I remembered one time he'd come out of this hole, but I was holding the light and handing him tools. One of the tools I was handing him was this little sawzall that cuts everything. It jigs like this. And he goes, Andy, I need to share with you something that when I'm down here in a dangerous position and I've got a hold of something, you need to grab the sharp edge and hand me the handle so that I can safely grab it blindly and know how to work. And so, I didn't like him much. I told him that every day. I was a foul-mouthed teenager. But out of fear, not respect, out of fear, because he was emphatic about this point, I handed him the tools with the handle edge and held onto the sharp edge. I was in 9th grade in biology, and my favorite teacher was Mrs. Dalston. Man, she was tough, but she was cool. And the only reason I loved her is because she didn't have those animals that were in a jar to cut up. She made us go out and get live frogs from the creek, and we cut them open. Way more bloodier than the malfahide or whatever that stuff is. And so the first thing you have to do is take a needle and poke him in the head, right in the right spot. And he kicks his leg around and poof, done. And pin them to the thing, you know. And the girls were freaking out, man. The frog's blood kind of comes out red and yellow. You know, it's really cool. And then we got to cut them down the center and peel them open and pin their skin open and then cut the little stuff out. Man, that was cool. Girls were freaking out. And those guys were shaking the frogs at them. You know, a gutted frog. That was the funnest part. And Mrs. Dawson, put your frog back on the thing. Well, this girl was getting ready to pass out. I mean, she was turning as green as the frog. You know what I'm saying? She was freaking out, and she had on nice clothes, and she was pretty. Her name was Lisa. She was the prettiest girl in the school, and everybody stared at her and got nothing done in class all day long. And here's my Andy story with the prettiest girl in the school. I asked her out every single day, just hope she might slip up and say yes. You know, she never did. And so here's where it ended. She invited me to her birthday party, and I cannot ice skate or roller skate for nothing. I just can't get the hang of it. But I had to be cool, and she invited me to her ice skating birthday party, and so I sat on one skate and just kind of scooted along like this. You know what I'm saying? Then they go, tag! You're it, Andy! And I was going, And she tagged me, and I fell down, and my skate went and cut her lip wide open. Prettiest girl in school. So I got two things to get me. I got this bloody frog. I busted her lip open. There's Lisa about ready to pass out. Mrs. Dalston held on to her and said, well, I'll get this open and then they can take notes and I'll do it for you. And Mrs. Dalston said, Andy, would you come help me? And unconsciously, because of what my foster dad had taught me and the emphasis that he put on it, I grabbed the sharp end of the razor blade and handed her the soft, protected side. And she kind of stopped and a tear came out of her eye. And I said, what's the matter? And she goes, I thought chivalry and gentlemanship was a thing of the past. And I said, well, I guess I learned that from my foster dad a couple years ago, who made me hand him tools by holding on to the sharp end. So a couple months ago, when I came home and I had 4 days off and then my wife was getting in the van with me. And gentlemen, you know that I can get here in 6 hours. With my wife, it takes 9.5. You guys know that. I accept that. That's love, grace. And she has to bring the dogs. You know, the pecking order in my house is Jesus, my wife, the grandkids, my dogs, and then I'm down in there somewhere. But I get home from this trip and I'm suffering. I haven't slept in 2 days. I only sleep every other night. I sleep about 20 hours a week. And I finally got home and go, ah, the grandkids are at their house. There's my bed. I'm going to get in this thing and sleep. And my wife pops up and goes, how was church, honey? Did you preach both services? Did you preach an evening service? What songs did you do in the praise team? Do they have a full praise team? Did you do contemporary? Or do they sing out of the hymnal? What kind of screen did they have? Do they have nice equipment? Or did you have to bring in your own? Did you sing in the park? How many people were in the park and what were they doing there? And what did you drive up? What route did you take? I heard there's construction on I-65. Maybe you should have taken a different route. What's going on, honey? And I go, ah! And I decided, I just got through preaching this revival. And I decided at that moment, instead of reacting, honey, I love you, baby, but I'm going to sleep, and I don't really care to hear your voice right now. That's not lucrative for us, my good friend. So what I said was, I'm going to get up and have a glass of strawberry milk, which me and my grandson, Ethan, partake in strawberry milk quite often. I said, why don't you come sit at the table? And I'll try to answer all the questions that you ask. And we sat there for about 1.5 hours. And I said, honey, I want to make a commitment to you. And I told her the story of my foster dad and my biology teacher when I grabbed the sharp end. And I said, honey, I want to make a commitment to you that I'm going to grab the sharp end of everything and hand you the soft, protected end. And I'm challenging you, church. You know what you're going to fill this church up bigger and we might have to build another building? It's only when you encounter people that you hold on to that sharp end and you hand them the soft, protected end. Then you might understand what love is. I pray that you need Jesus. I pray that you want Jesus. But my biggest prayer for you right now, in this very place, that through the gift of this sermon and the gift of love, that He loves us, an example as Christ loved the church, that you fall in love with Him back. And I know in the Christian church, you're not supposed to talk about the movement of the Holy Spirit. That was in Chuck's interview. Can't talk about the Holy Spirit. Here's my take on it. And I'm not very smart. I know one thing. You have to confess Him. You have to confess His name, that He is Jesus, Son of the living God. Amen. And only through that understanding do you say, well, because of that, I have to unload some of the things that are weighing me down. As a matter of fact, when I get in front of Bible scholars and I say, how on earth, how in God's plan can this drug addict, this foul-mouthed rock and roll dude who was a sinner, saved by grace, put himself to death without going in that water? No debate. One time in Acts 2:38, it said, then and only then do you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to reconfess. The Apostle Paul wrote many letters about churches that need to reconcile and reconfess. Church, we have the opportunity to take this to another level. What an opportunity with Chuck coming in as your minister. What an opportunity with this fabulous praise team. Troy's my brother, man. What a great worship leader that you have here. You are blessed. Let's take that blessing and make it flourish throughout this community. Amen. Who's with me? Let's fall in love with Jesus. And through our guiding light, let's stand and worship together as we offer an invitation. If you're here today, today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you'd like to take one step closer to Christ and fall more in love with Him than you were before you came here this morning expecting something to happen, let's let that happen. Get out of the way. Let God do His work as we stand and we sing.